Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, via James Webb. Is that the way I do that? Okay. That's the way you wrote it. Okay. Next Sunday, we're going to get back to 1 Corinthians 10. But right now, let's open the Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is not just another Bible study. What we're going to close this section of our study with is the reality of living a Christian life. And Christians suffer a great deal of stress, anxiety, depression, heartache, discouragement, disillusionment, so many different things for failure of what we're going to be studying this morning. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God by prayer. The purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Spirit, who is the true teacher. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our world is filled with so many conflicts, as you know, and you've given to us everything that we need to handle it. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see, to understand, and to live. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I just said, this is a very important study in closing this section of our study, and it deals with how we're supposed to live moment by moment. It is amazing how many Christians suffer distress, anxiety, depression, jealousy, hatred, discouragement, disillusionment, so many different things. And God has provided everything necessary where no Christian needs to experience these things. So let's begin with reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, for this reason, after going through the list of heroes of faith in chapter 11, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, all those faith heroes of faith in chapter 11 that we read through, let us, believers of the church age, also in our time in history, they had their time in history, they have our time in history in the church age. Now, lay aside every encumbrance. People, it begins with us. That's one thing I'm going to show you this morning. God has provided everything necessary, but to reap it, it begins with us. So this one says, lay aside every encumbrance, baggage that we picked up along the way, and the sin which entangles us. The sin, with the definite article, throughout the book of Hebrews, is the sin of unbelief. And the sin of unbelief entangles us. So this is noted throughout the book of Hebrews and in our study. And let us run with endurance the race. And you remember that the word race isn't really race in the Greek. It's conflict, whatever the case may be. But in the motif of our passage, race is a good translation. That is set before us. Who set it before us? God. Remember that. God set your race before you. Therefore, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. What an unexpected statement. This is unexpected at this point. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin of unbelief which entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. We have seen how when you run, you have to concentrate on the race you're running. You put out an objective out there, a goal, and you reach that and you put out another one. This is what we're seeing in this case. And here, you fix your eyes on Jesus. Means the word to fix. Means to bear down on your mind, to think of nothing else save Jesus Christ. People, as we're going to see this morning, the battle of the Christian life is in your mind, not your body, not your emotions, It's a battle for the mind. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, a present participle, the verb meaning to set your mind's sight, to look away steadfastly at something in a distance, to fix your mind upon Jesus. He's in a distance. He's at the right hand of the Father. We set our mind on Him. I told you, and I'll just do it one more time, when I ran cross country in high school, I had an Olympic coach, and he taught us to pick out something, I don't know, maybe 100 yards or whatever in front of you, depending on the terrain. It could be a leaf, it could be a tree, whatever. And you run to it. And as you approach it, you pick out something further out, something further out. You do not have your mind cluttered by anything going on. Whatever's going on out here, that doesn't concern you. This is what concerns you, is getting to that objective. That's what we have going on here. Fixing your eyes, fixing your mindset on these things. Now, the present participle, this is a daily practice. This is how we are to live. Now, with this in mind, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the second passage we're going to look at today, Isaiah 26. So let's look at Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26:3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace. Now, I love the King James here. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, while I love the King James, the Hebrew manuscript points out something very important. At this point, it doesn't start with God. It starts with us. It starts with our thinking. That's what I do like about the Hebrew manuscript, is that it starts with you. It's up to you whether or not you will have this peace from God. It's all in our dealing with God. He is right there, ready to save, ready to restore with the filling of the Spirit. But it's up to you. It's up to us whether we'll take advantage. And so first, God sent His Son. But for you to experience salvation, eternal life, it's up to you. You've got to make a faith decision. God provided us with the filling of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But it's up to you whether or not you will experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God sent His Word. But it's up to us whether or not we'll take advantage of His Word. So let's work with the way the New American Standard Version places it. And then move on. Steadfast mind. Okay. The steadfast mind. This is a cow participle. And people, this parallels the Hebrew, the present participle of the Hebrews 12:2, fixing your eyes. Fixing your eyes is an operation of the mind. And here we have the steadfast of mind. Cow participle. Same principle working. Only here in the Hebrew, we have the passive voice, which presents an important picture. The mind receives steadfastness, and we're going to see how, but I'll just say it now, by the faith of the believer. And the Hebrew word for steadfastness is a beautiful picture word of what's going on. It means to lay hold of, to sustain. To give you an idea of the word, in Psalm 3:5, the Lord sustains the believer who trusts in Him. But here, it's the believer who must sustain an action of the mind. People, whether you want to think of Christianity as a race, Hebrews 12, as a conflict, as a battle, whatever you want to look at the Christian life, it is fought in the mind. It is run in the mind. There are so many people that I anticipate seeing in heaven and eternity. First, of course, is our Savior, but one Whitaker Chambers. Of course, I never met him in this world, but I've read every one of his books, and I feel like I know him. But Whitaker Chambers, in his book Cold Friday, he wrote that the battle between the West, or Christianity, and communism is a battle for the mind. Because, people, this is where your battle is. It's in the mind. And it's the thinking of the mind. It's the way it is in the spiritual warfare in our lives, not our emotions. When emotions get in the way, it's disastrous. We must learn to control the mind. A wise parent teaches their children mind control, mind set, mind objective. And so this is what we have going on. We must set our minds, our thinking. And as I go through this, you got your choice. You can set your thinking on things of the world. You can set your thinking on Christ. It's up to you. The steadfast mind, not unlike fixing our eyes. Now, with the steadfast mind, we have just one question. On what is a steadfast mind set? In context. In context. What is the steadfast mind set on? This answer is in the next line. Because he trusts in thee. This tells us that the mind is steadfast on Jesus. It tells us that it stays steadfast on Jesus by faith. How do you have a steadfast mind? By faith. How do you have a steadfast mind on what? Jesus Christ. By faith. This is the issue. Now, what is God's response? This is important. God, often I'll ask you, what is your view of God? What is your view of God? What is God's response to a believer who has a steadfast mind, a mind stayed on Jesus Christ? Look what it says. He will keep in perfect peace. Now, the Hebrew, he will keep, guard, protect. This is what God will do. You entrust God, and he in turn will keep you. See this? You take the steadfast mind set on Christ, he will in turn come along. As long as you keep that steadfast mind, he'll keep you in perfect peace. The moment you decide to get off of that steadfast mind, get your eyes on the things of the world, you lose it. His keeping you in perfect peace is dependent upon you keeping your mind stayed on him. A perfect illustration is Peter. Peter got out of a boat on water in the sea and walked on it. You don't do that. That's something we cannot do. He did it. And as long as he had his eyes focused on Jesus, he walked on the water. Then he became aware of the waves. He became aware, hey, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. And that moment, he sunk. And Christ reached down and pulled him up. But as long as he had his eyes fixed on all that was going on, the waves of the storm, the fact he's walking on water, all the nothing. He was walking on water. And as long as you and I keep our minds stayed on him, he will give you perfect peace. Take your mind off of him. You've chosen. You have chosen to break that peace. Not God. You and I have chosen. As long as we choose to keep a steadfast mind on him by faith, he will in turn keep us in perfect peace. This is what God will do. So you entrust to God. He is faithful to keep you. Keep this in mind. Keep it in your mind. And then he will keep you. So first of all, we make a decision. Mine. I'm keeping my mind set on him. He in response makes a decision. I will keep you in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this. I'm just going to give it to you briefly and we'll move on. Perfect peace is actually a repetition of the same word. Shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. He will keep you in peace, peace. Okay, perfect peace. Perfect peace is fine. But I want you to understand what's going on. I want you to see what God is doing. That first shalom, that first peace, that's the eternal peace we have of God. When we believed in Christ, he gave us eternal peace. You cannot lose that. That's the peace of God. Now, the second peace refers to the peace with God experientially. The first peace is peace of God. The second peace is peace with God. You have peace of God, eternal life. Now you want to experience peace with God in your Christian life. And that's the peace that God will give. So perfect peace is fine. But I want you to understand what's going on grammatically. So we have shalom, shalom. Peace I've given to you. Peace I will continue to give to you. Peace I've given to you eternally. This peace I give to you as long as you keep your mind stayed on my son, stayed on him. So this refers to the peace that you and I have by faith in the Holy Spirit. Peace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Peace with God through faith in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. So it's the faith in God that causes these things to work. So the peace of God, faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Peace with God, faith in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Now continuing the Isaiah passage, verse 3. The steadfast mind set on thinking on him, fixing your eyes, steadfast mind, you will keep in perfect peace. He will give you experiential peace to correspond to the eternal peace you have in him. Now why is God going to do that? Because. Demonstrative Hebrew particle, because. Because he trusts in you. One of the most important essences of God. We all know about his own sovereignty, omnipotence, omnipresence. But I want to tell you one that is so important to us moment by moment in our life. That's the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Don't ever forget that. That's what keeps us going moment by moment in life. God is faithful. He's faithful in the rapture. He's faithful in my eternal life. He's faithful if I will walk by faith in his Spirit. He is faithful to give me this peace. It's the faithfulness of God. So the word because he is faithful. This helps us to understand, fix our eyes on Jesus. We do this by keep walking by faith. Now, verse 4, trust in the Lord. All right, verse 3, because he trusts in you. Verse 4, trust in the Lord. Have an interesting word, forever. Forever. It's a Cal imperative, instructing us how to live each day of our life. Trust in the Lord forever. What does that mean, forever? Let me tell you what forever means in this context, and I'll show you with the next phrase coming up. This means in every circumstance, every difficulty, everything that happens in your life, forever, no matter what happens in your life. Don't take the forever way out there somewhere after you die, pie in the sky stuff. This is daily life. Forever means he'll do it tomorrow. He'll do it this afternoon. He'll do it today. He'll keep on doing this as long as I keep my mind stayed on him. This is what God will do. Because he trusts in the Lord. And then he says, therefore trust in the Lord forever. This is in difficult times, whatever, we keep trusting in him. Now, why do we trust him forever? Why do we trust him in everything? For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. See that word everlasting? That corresponds with forever. In any and every circumstance, he is there to perform his shalom to you. Verse 3, the steadfast mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. See, what is a steadfast mind? It's faith. Faith in what? Faith in Christ. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Okay, our first verse, yes. Okay, God is Jesus Christ. He's God. Yep. It's the believer trusting God. No, come on, Pat. Yeah. Yeah, it's the believer trusting God. That's one of the difficult things, especially in the Psalms, trying to figure out how the pronouns and personal pronouns and all change in the midst of it. But that's what's referring to. Okay, first passage, Hebrews 12:2, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Then we look at Isaiah 26, steadfast of mind. One more passage this morning to put this in perspective. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, since, or it says therefore if, but it's actually since, first class, since you have been raised up with Christ, okay, that's our position. That's what Christ did for, God did for us first. Then he says, keep seeking the things above. Yet another way of saying, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Another way of saying, keep your mind stayed on him. So keeping your eyes on the things above. Get your mindset. That's that eye thing again, the eye across the mind. The mind, keep your mind on that. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So since you've been raised up with him, keep seeking the things above. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now verse 2 plays right into our study. Set your mind. The steadfast of mind, keeping your eyes on him. Here it is, set your mind. This is a present imperative, how we are to live each minute of each day. The Greek word for neo comes from the root for mind, and it means a mindset. To have a mindset introduces what we are to put all our thoughts into, thoughts toward. Now, so we have a mindset. Keep your mind set. Keep your thinking set. And people, this has to be all the time. You don't know when the wreck's going to occur. You don't know when the disaster's going to hit. Example that I probably have overused. You're sitting at home. The phone rings. Your child has just died on the highway. What are you going to do? Right now, it's your choice. You have a choice at that second. Fall apart, blame somebody, break down and cry, and go eat a chocolate cake. Or you can simply say, this is in the hands of God. I'm going to keep my mind set on him. This is up to him. This is his plan. It's up to you. It's entirely up to you. But if your mindset has been in the flesh, say for a couple of hours before that phone rang, more than likely, you're going to give over to the flesh. You will not have your mind set on him. This is why we need to keep our mind set on him at all times. Keep him set on him. People that carry guns, citizens that have weapons, they've got to always have their mind set. They cannot relax. You relax and you may die. You relax, you may shoot the wrong person. As long as you have that weapon on your side, whether you go to a movie, a party, wherever you are in a condition red. You're under red alert. And I mean anything can happen at any moment, and you've got to know what to do at that time. Chris Day was telling me about a course he's taking. You're still taking it. About a course. It's not to get his license to carry the weapon. That's done. This course, now that you're carrying that weapon, now what? What to do if you're in a theater? What to do if you're in a restaurant? What to do if you're in public somewhere? Or in private? Got to know what to do. Got to have that mindset at all times. But as long as that weapon's at your side, you cannot forget it. You cannot just let your mind wander. You've got to be ready with that weapon at all times, if you're going to carry it. Now, if you don't want this, then leave it at home. But if you want it, if you want to carry it, this has to be your mind all the time on that weapon. People, this is our Christian life at all times. We've got to keep our mindset on Him, because you never know when the crisis is going to occur, when the call is going to come, when you're going to get the news by phone, by person, from a doctor, from a lawyer, I don't care where. You've got to have your mind set on Him, keeping your mind set. So verse 2, set your mind on things above, and I like the next phrase, not on things that are on earth. People, here is the cause of SAD, stress, anxiety, depression, mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, overt sins, because we're occupied with the things on earth, not the things above. They're not these things. We're occupied with the earth. You're occupied with the earth? Pow! The earth is going to give you these things. Christ in John 16, in the world, you will have tribulation. Then He said something, you may have my peace. You will have tribulation, but you may have my joy. You may have it. It's going to be up to you. Whether or not you have the tribulation is not up to you. You're living in the world, it's coming. Bank on it. It's coming. Now, do you want to have peace and joy at that particular time? So let's read Colossians 3, 1 through 4, since we're here. If then you have been raised up with Christ, since you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is where you and I are to live. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, that cause so much turmoil. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. When Christ, who is our life, should be, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Doesn't matter how many people know about you. That's not the issue. Does God know you? Not do you know God. Does God know you? Going to be a lot of people in eternity going to be saying, we prophesied in your name. We did all these things in your name. We called you Lord, Lord. He's going to say, I never knew you. I think those are the saddest words in the Bible. I never knew you. People, it's not a matter of us just knowing Him. Does He know you? That's the great issue. Does He know you? We just studied in 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. People, God wants us to communicate with Him at all times. He does not want to break down in communication. I don't care if you're angry. You're happy, you're sad, you talk to Him. You don't run away from Him. You talk with Him at all times. You keep your mind set on Him. This is what we're doing in our Christian life. Keep your mind set on Him. When Christ, who is our life, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, He is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Okay, Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, keep your mind stayed on Him. Keep trusting Him. Colossians 3, keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on the things above. Now, these three passages, all you really need to know to live a wonderful life. It's all you really need to know. If you put these into practice in your faith life, right here. These passages help us to understand our study in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. First verse, rejoice always. Second verse, pray without ceasing. Third verse, in everything give thanks. Question. How can you always rejoice when things are going badly in your life, horribly in your life? Someone you love died. Someone you love left you, which is sometimes worse. Things, the doctor report, on and on and on. Things that could happen. How can you rejoice always? How can you pray without ceasing when you really don't want to talk to God and you don't know what to say to Him? I can't tell God I'm angry. People, yes, you can. He's a big God. He can handle it. He can handle your being angry. I learned this as a young boy. I said, "I hate you," to my mother. She didn't fall apart. "Oh, he hates me. He hates me. Oh, oh." She didn't fall apart. She just said, when I slammed the door, "You break anything, you pay for it." That's all she said. She didn't fall apart. And she didn't try to gain my love and change everything so I would love her. No, the love of that child isn't what is important. It's love that comes when you're an adult. Do you love your parents? That's when it's an issue. Not as you're growing up. In fact, love is very difficult if it's done right while you're growing up. So it is with God, people. God is big enough to handle your anger. God is big enough to handle your frustration. God is big enough to handle your fear, your worry, your discouragement, your disillusionment, all these things. He's big. He's loving. He's righteous. Don't forget that. He is a righteous God. But how can I do all of this? How can I rejoice in everything, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in everything? How can I do that? Let me tell you the answer to the question. Get your eyes off these things. Fix your eyes on Him. Fix your thinking. Get a mindset on Him. That's how you can do it. Get your eyes off of the things going on in the world that's causing this little discouragement, this fear, this worry, this anger, whatever it is, and get your eyes set on Him. Fix your eyes, your thinking, on the person of Christ. Let's take some summary points. One, this happiness, rejoice always, this happiness does not and cannot depend on the outward circumstances in life. Cannot do it. The happiness we're talking about here cannot, does not depend on the circumstances of life. Who loves you? Who doesn't love you? What you have, what you don't have, on and on and on. A lot of times we're fooled. We're fooled. Are you happy? Do you have this happiness because everything's going well for you? Well, it may not be of God. Your happiness may be of the circumstances of life. Now, do you have it when things are not going that way? When your plans don't work out? When things are wrong as far as you're concerned? And you experience this peace, this happiness inside, then you can say something, this is real. This is from God. This is miraculous. But as long as this happiness comes, because everything is going great, and you're just so happy, slapping everybody on the back, boy, everybody, you love everybody, everybody loves you, things are just going great, it may be a whole host. It may not be real. Your happiness may depend on the circumstances of life. I always like to remind you, the disciples walked by sight. Jesus Christ went to Galilee, they followed Him to Galilee. Jesus Christ went to Samaria, they followed Him to Samaria. Jesus Christ went to Jerusalem, they reluctantly followed Him to Jerusalem. But they followed Him. They walked by sight. The day's coming, I'm not going to be here. I'm gone. I'm out of here. Now they're going to have to learn to walk by faith. They're going to have to learn to walk by faith in the Spirit. That's how they're going to, that's why Christ said, I'm leaving. But I'm going to send you another one, like me, deity, but Spirit, not flesh. Don't look for a flesh person. It's going to be the Spirit of truth. You follow Him. As you followed me, you follow Him. As you trusted me, you trust Him. This is the beauty of God's plan. So this is what God has set up for us. So this is the important thing. So point one, if you're dependent on the circumstances in life for your happiness, for your peace, for your joy, you're in trouble. Because it is going to change. Once in a while, you run into somebody and they just seem like nothing ever goes wrong. And I'm going to go along with that. I used to say, yeah, we don't know what's going on inside. Let's just say everything's always going right. They got, you know, everything's going fine with them. See? Where's the real happiness coming from? Circumstances of life. You don't want that. You want the joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. Point two. The believer is not to be up and down. God has provided for the believer not to be an emotional wreck, not to live your life as an emotional yo-yo. That is not the way God has set up for us to live. Point three, Jesus Christ, the one that we're fixing our eyes on, desires that every believer has His joy in them. His joy be full in them. Let me read to you John 15:11. Gospel of John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is what God Christ desires. Not every believer experiences this, and as a matter of fact, few do. But this is what God Christ desires, that we have His joy in us, and His joy is full. It's not dependent on the circumstances of life. Point four. God has provided every believer with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that you can actually experience this joy at all times. It is dependent on your mindset, your faith in the Holy Spirit, and whether or not He'll pour His joy, and I'll add peace, into you. Point five. The most important doctrine, the most important activity for any believer is to know how to be filled with the Spirit. The most important doctrine for an unbeliever, how am I saved? The most important doctrine for any believer, how am I filled with the Holy Spirit? This is the most important doctrine. And all through Scripture we have the answer, but Galatians 5 deals with it by faith in the Spirit. We have the hope. It's by faith. So the most important doctrine or activity for the believer is to know how to be filled with the Spirit, and that's by faith in the Holy Spirit. Six. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and therefore experience inner happiness, inner peace, by grace through faith. By the grace of God, through faith in His Spirit. Faith in the Holy Spirit results in the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the more of the Word of God you have in your soul, the more inner happiness the Holy Spirit can give you. The more joy He can give you. With the more of His Word that you have in Him, in you. It's unbelievable. God has given us His Son, His Spirit, His Word. Has given you everything you need. Now it's up to you. Will you take advantage of His Spirit by faith? Will you take advantage of His Word by learning His Word? Point seven. People, this is not just a doctrine. This is where we live. What I'm giving you right now is the key. And it may have to just be, if you're in such a dilemma in your life, things are just so crashing, you may have to just sit down, open this text, and just read and read and read and read for hours. You cannot let it go. Or you're back into the flesh, back into your sad, anxiety, fear, worry, all these things. But as long as you keep your eyes set on Him, and this is totally opposed to our nature, to keep your mind set on Him, to control that mind. I mean, it's tough. Think about it in school. How long could you study in high school at one time? I hope longer than 15 minutes, but whatever it is. But now this is the way you've got to live. Control that mind. Keep that mind set on Him. And the moment you let it go over to think of the things in the world, things that are going on, it's over. It's gone. You're not going to experience this shalom. You're not going to experience this happiness. It's up to you. And it just may be that things are so tough on you, so difficult on you, you have no choice but to abandon the world from you and sit down and just read the Word and go through it and then pray in prayer, read, pray, read, pray. Keep your mind stayed on Him. And pretty soon, the things on earth will go strangely dim. And I like the way He words that, strangely. Wow, how's this happening? A moment ago, I was a nervous wreck, falling apart. And now, all of a sudden, these things of the world are strangely dim. The things that used to call me all this trouble, just they're no longer there. How did that happen? You're now seeing the secret. You keep your eyes fixed on Him. Keep your mind set on Him, not on the things of this earth, but on Him. And the torment of the world grows strangely dim. 1:7. This happiness, this peace, is centered on our being occupied with Christ, not with the circumstances of life. Let me read for you Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. For the sake of time, I'll just read it to you. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. That's like fixing your eyes on Him. Rejoice in the Lord always. What do you mean always? I just had something horrible happen. I was just told by a doctor I have cancer. I just been told by a lawyer I'm getting a divorce. I just told by this that this is going to happen. What do you mean always? That's what it means, people. No exceptions. Keep your mind stayed on Him. Keep your eyes fixed on Him, not on the circumstances of life. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Keep your mindset set on Him and set your mind on Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. I don't care what people are saying. I don't care what people are doing. You are responsible for your own inner peace and your own happiness in these circumstances of life. It's up to you. You can listen to them. You can listen to the Lord. You can think on what He's doing, or you can think on the circumstances of life and how horrible things are, how unfair God is. On and on and on. It's up to you. It's up to us. This is not something that has to come. People have this idea that depression has to be there. No, depression's a choice. It's a choice. I choose to be depressed, as opposed to I choose to keep my mind set on Him. It's a choice that you and I make. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, question that we're dealing with, how can you give thanks when bad things are happening? How can you rejoice when all this is going on that's going on in your life? Things aren't like the way they turned out. This is something that people, I don't know, it hits different people, different ages. 50, 60, 70, 80. This is not the way I thought my life would be. I'm very discouraged with where I am in life. I'm very disillusioned with my life right now. And people, don't ever judge other people. You have your burden, they've got theirs. You and I are to be there to encourage one another, not judge one another. So, just, how can that be? Well, what's the solution? Get your eyes off of yourself. Who set up the standard that you thought you'd be by age 80 or by age 50 or 60? Who set that up? I did. Well, okay, there you go. The race is set before us by God. You didn't set the race. He set the race. So it's up to you and I just to accept it, fix our eyes on Christ, steadfast of mind, and move on in that direction. That's what we have to do. Let's know the second summary. One, as you grow in your spiritual life, how do you grow in your spiritual life? Knowledge of Jesus Christ. You become more and more oriented to the true fact God is in control. That's not just a saying. That's not just the words. A lot of people, oh, God's in control. Do you really think that when you're hit with disaster, disappointment, things in your life, wait a minute, God is in control. Now, I do want to take the time for you to turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And if you can't remember verse 18, just remember the last verse of 2 Peter 3. In fact, if you want to make it easier, the last verse in 2 Peter. Want to make it easier than that? The last verse in 1 and 2 Peter is the key verse here. So it's really easy to remember this. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and the day of eternity. Amen. People, this is that mindset. This is that fixing your eyes on Him. Grow in the knowledge of Him. The more we study His Word, the more we learn about Him, the more we're at peace. He's in control. He's in control. Not me. Not me. Control is an illusion. People live under the idea, I'm going to control my wife, control my husband, control my finances, control this. Control is an illusion. Don't get caught in that illusion. It is not reality. All right? So point two. Point one, as you grow in your spiritual life and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you become more oriented to the true fact God is in control. Now, point two, you believe that God can work all things to good. Do you believe that? A lot of people quote that verse, Romans 8:28. Do you believe it? Do you believe that He can work all this that's happened in your life to good? The cancer call, the lawyer call, the financial advisor call, your boss call, whatever. He can work it to good. Or does that just sound good? That sounds good when you're sitting in Bible class and everything's going fine. You've had breakfast, or maybe you haven't. At least you've had your coffee. So it sounds good. But when you live your life, then you live your life. Do you believe He can work this to good? Do you truly believe that? If you do, then no matter what's going on, there's going to be a peace. I don't know how He's going to do it. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun to see how God is going to work this together for good. Because right now, it's going to work together for a mess. It's going to work together for bad all the way around. Financially, romantically, marriage, whatever it is in life. You've got to decide. Do you believe He can work all things together for good or not? It's up to you. Point three. You know, we are not to question God about anything He does or allows to happen on earth. But we do it. One of my favorite passages is Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. Why? Chapter 3, how long? Verse 2, why? Why are these things going on? And then chapter 3, okay, how long is all this going to go on? And the Lord's answer in chapter 2 of Habakkuk, the righteous live by faith. You just trust me. I know what I'm doing. It's in my plan. It's under my control. And I'll bring it to the fruition that I want it to be. Point three. So when anything happens, you're oriented to just trusting God. I love the book of Job. 41 chapters of unbelievable life for Job. 41 chapters. In 42, he finally got it. I retract everything I've said. You're God. I trust you. Why couldn't you have said that in chapter 1? Well, we wouldn't have had the book of Job if he had done that. So we need that book. But if that's all he had to do, that's all God wanted him to learn. 41 chapters to bring Job. You're God. I trust you. You can save yourself a lot of turmoil if you will learn and have the wisdom of Job in chapter 42. You're God. I trust you. I don't understand you. I don't agree with you. I don't like what you're doing, but I trust you. You're God. This is the issue. So point three, anything happens, you're oriented to just trusting God. Give thanks that His plan is working and that it can actually come out to good. All right. In 1 Thessalonians 5, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And if we combine all of our studies together, fixing your eyes on Jesus, steadfast mind stayed on Him, set your mind on Him, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This looks at all three of these things that we've been talking about. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. This is God's will. This is how you and I are going to live. Got to understand, when we finish 1st and 2nd Thessalonians dealing with the rapture, because in all, as we've seen, all five chapters of 1 Thessalonians, he talks about the rapture. We're going to see the same thing in 2 Thessalonians, the rapture. This is probably the second book that Paul wrote. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, you shouldn't have teaching on the rapture and all that stuff. People, Paul taught it right from the beginning. It's part of our faith walk. I will see him. I will meet him in the air. Quit worrying about I may die. I got to have a coffin. I got to have this. No, think about I might see him in the air today. That's how we're to live. I might see him today in the air. When we get through with all of this, I'm going to go back and do a lesson called Lessons from 1 Thessalonians. And it's going to highlight, make it your ambition to live a quiet life. This is so powerful with so many other passages in Scripture. Live a quiet life. Keeping your eyes fixed on Him, living that life. Now, let's finish up chapter 12 of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We've already noted the word race does not mean race. It means conflict. Whether you like race, conflict, whatever, it's in your mind, your thinking. The total of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, center on thinking. Thinking of faith. That's right. Faith is thinking. Isaiah 28:6, trust in the Lord. Faith is not natural. Faith is thinking. Faith is thinking. You have to think in order to live by faith. You have to think in order to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. You have to think to be and filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to think in order to live by the Holy Spirit. You have to think to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. All of those came from Galatians 5. Remember, what the sin, with the definite article, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 is it so easily entangles us, is the sin of unbelief. That's the sin. And it so easily sets in. How easy it is for us to go into the flesh and get our eyes off of Him. Now, finishing the verse, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. All right? How is this encouragement to us? You're going to have the cross. You're going to have your own burdens. You're going to have your own tribulation. Christ said you will have tribulation. Paul said you're going to have tribulation. We're going to have it. But you see, we got our mind set on what's ahead of that. And what's in front of that? The rapture. What's that mean? Face to face with the Lord, to be gathered up by Him. One of the words for rapture, He will take you, pull you to Himself, and take you out from the wrath to come. And you'll be in that position with Him forever. You will be in His arms. It's a beautiful word for rapture that we study. So this is the issue that we're looking at. The author, perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God, the throne of God. Okay, let's close with a few points. One, the Christian life is lived by means of faith, entirely by means of faith. The more knowledge you have, the stronger that faith will come, the more you will have opportunity, but it is lived entirely by faith. Some people want to live it by knowledge. People, it's not live by knowledge. It's live by faith. Two, substance of faith. Faith has no power. Faith is inactive. Faith is passive. Faith receives what God does. Faith receives what God provides. When we receive anything from God, small or large, unimportant or important, we receive it on the basis of grace, not works. Three, salvation as pattern for filling of the Spirit. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And the object there is that you're saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves, so that no one will boast. were saved by grace through faith. People were filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Not of works. It's a mental activity. It's a mental activity of faith. Not of repentance. Not a verbal confession. Over the ritual. It's by faith. And the member of the Godhead sent. He sent His Son for our salvation. He sent His Spirit for our spirituality. And then four. Means of laying aside every encumbrance is by faith. And of course, the way of laying aside the sin of unbelief is by going back to faith. The means of running the race that is set before us is by faith. And next Sunday morning, we'll be back at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now that Your Spirit will take the things we've seen this morning from these pertinent passages of Scripture. Meditate on them. Understand them. Live by them. Pray Your Spirit can use what we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen.